2 of that 590 show coming at you live right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday Junior night. Yeah, I don't care if you want people sterilized who say that, Rocchio. I'm going to say it. Because you want to, now I know that it annoys you, I'm going to say it.
Never going to say I'm a I'm never going to ever say on the air that I'm a proponent of eugenics, but I'm kidding, obviously.
The Belmont MO phone line right now is being occupied by our good friend, Andrew Claudio, the digital media director of Gotham SN and the host of the Nothing But Knicks podcast that can be found on iTunes. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_GSN. Andrew, first we have to tell you congratulations. I know this is a day that you've been waiting for a long time. Phil Jackson finally fired from your beloved New York Knicks.
Oh, happy day, Berger. It is an exhilarating feeling. I woke up yesterday with the best news I've gotten since, I don't even know when, and probably the best news of 2017. In fact, I could definitively say that it was the best day of 2017. Now, it quickly has turned into, okay, don't forget that James Dolan is still your owner and he might potentially hire Isaiah Thomas back. But for one day in 2017, I was able to just smile and the sun was shining a little bit brighter. I got to notice the color of trees again. It was incredible how great yesterday was.
And when I saw, I heard that they were considering bringing back Zeke and I'm like, there's no way. Someone was just kind of throwing something out there. And then, nope, it's Frank Isola from the New York Daily News.
Yep.
He's a pretty credible source. He knows the Knicks probably better than anybody else in New York City. And I'm like, what is James Dolan thinking? What is he thinking? Because all Isaiah Thomas ever really did was just give max contracts to people like Eddie Curry and Steve Francis. And then, oh, yeah, cost the organization millions of dollars in a sexual harassment lawsuit. But other than that, he was a great guy.
Well, you nailed it. I will say the one thing I've always said about Isaiah is he drafted really well. If you look at it, he drafted David Lee and Nate Robinson and Channing Frye, and those were really good pieces in, you know, for other teams. But he did put together some decent draft picks, and he did, you know, he traded for Jamal Crawford, traded for Zach Randolph, and I do think there was talent there. I just never saw a plan from Isaiah Thomas. It was just every year it was, okay, now we're going to go for a youth movement, but then we're also going to trade for Eddie Curry, and but we're also going to go for a tank with Larry Brown. And he just I like him on television, so let's keep him on television. I'm perfectly fine searching elsewhere for something brand new with the New York Knicks presidency.
Ian Begley from ESPN.com is throwing out there that John Calipari is making an inquiry to the New York Knicks. What are your thoughts on that?
I would actually love that for two reasons. One, we know he knows how to recruit. As long as he's not coming to coach. I don't want one of these Tom Thibodeau, Stan Van Gundy, you get to be the coach and the team president, because I don't think that works. I don't look at an example around the league. You look at the Clippers. I mean, Doc Rivers looks like he legitimately destroyed that team because he was given the GM spot and gave his son $90 million and then refused to trade him for Carmelo Anthony and that loss in Chris Paul. So if he's coming here to recruit, I like the idea that he's going to be a good recruiter, because number two, how many great Kentucky guys are in the league and going to be free agents in a couple of years? You got Anthony Davis. You got Carl Anthony Towns eventually. You got DeMarcus Cousins. You got John Wall. And they all love John Calipari. So if he's coming here to be the team president, and there's that Brad Stevens can recruit Gordon Hayward factor to it, but with all these great Kentucky guys, I'm all for it.
You brought up the Los Angeles Clippers. They made a pretty big trade. Chris Paul was going to opt out and test free agency and then told the Clippers, hey, I'm going to sign with the Rockets. He opts in for the final year of his contract, and he gets traded to the Rockets for like half their roster, including, like, you know, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, and Sam Decker. What do you make of this move for the Houston Rockets? I mean, is this going to be a whole lot of nothing if they can't get a third piece like a Paul George? Or can you see Chris Paul staying in Houston long-term and signing a longer-term deal?
So, I actually said this yesterday on my show that I don't like it yet, because like you said, I need that third piece. I need to see what else is there. This reminds me a lot of when Dwight Howard got traded to the Lakers and didn't sign an extension. It's a one-year deal. it gets the team that he came from some pieces and some assets if they want to either move them or start a youth movement themselves. I need this to be move one of two if I'm the Houston Rockets, because I've read the reports that Chris Paul and James Harden wanted to play together and they want to play off ball more, but Mike D'Antoni's system works with one point guard having the ball most of the time, controlling the offense. And yeah, now he is Chris Paul, and if he didn't just have an amazing season with James Harden as his point guard, and we got to see what James Harden with a ridiculously high usage rate and pretty much control of the offense looks like, then I would say it works. But what, is James Harden just going to be a spot-up shooter now? Are they going to take turns? I don't see how it works yet. However, if they get a Paul George, then I completely understand it. And it's one year where you just go for it. And then if it all fails, Paul George goes to the Lakers, Chris Paul opts out, and then the banana boat team can form in New York or L.A., and then you see what happens. But I need this to be move one of two if I'm the Rockets.
Are you a little surprised that the team in Texas that Chris Paul joined was the Rockets and it wasn't the San Antonio Spurs?
I was, because that him on the Spurs made so much sense.
It really did.
He's a great lockdown defender, and that's a team. Look, say what you want about the Warriors. They were down by 25 points in game one against the Spurs, and then Kawhi got hurt. So who knows what happens if you add Chris Paul to a 62-win team. I will say that I don't think they can I don't know what the Spurs cap situation is. I know they can't max him out, though. So he would have had to do the exact same thing where he opted in and it was a sign-and-trade. And then who knows what would have happened, because I don't think the Spurs, that's never been them to clear out all these assets to add a player, especially one that's not a guaranteed long-term contract. So I thought he made sense on the Spurs. I guess he sees that it's one year for right now, which I honestly think that's how Chris Paul is looking at this, that this is a one-year thing, and then he'll reassess things next summer with the rest of his buddies as free agents. But I was stunned that he didn't at least go to the Spurs over the Rockets.
One thing I thought was funny that the Spurs, I mean, there's rumors that they were doing, and same thing in Los Angeles with the Clippers, that, you know, the Spurs, they went through the whole recruiting process to get LaMarcus Aldridge, and now 2 years later, they're wanting to get rid of him. And then you had 2 years ago, the Clippers locking DeAndre Jordan in his house to keep him away from Mark Cuban, and now they're wanting to get rid of him as well. It's just like the evolution of basketball is that, okay, if you're a big man and you can't shoot the three-pointer, we don't want you.
Yeah, the game's changed. It's weird because you just look at the seven-footers around the league now, just from the last two seasons, or even just the big men around the league now. Karl-Anthony Towns comes in the league. He would be, you know, a power forward back in the day who would never see the outside of the key, and now he plays the perimeter. You look at Giannis, who is basically their point guard. I mean, Porzingis is legitimately the 27th, perfect version of a stretch five that never should have been mentioned in trade talk, but that's another story for another day. But yeah, it's the game has honestly changed and like you said, evolved to this point where it's three ball, it's pace and space, and if you're a conventional old school big man that you're down there to grab rebounds and slow the ball movement down, and you're just there to shoot skyhooks. Like, imagine Kareem trying to make it in this NBA. I think he'd find a place, but the fact that he, again, would never leave the key, I don't know how he would fit in today's NBA.
I don't think he would, because like you said, he would never leave the key. And now it's all about stretching the floor and creating space, you know, shoot from the outside and then drive to the hoop. It's not, you know, inside out basketball like it used to be back in, you know, the 70s, 80s, hell, even the 90s, and you could say even 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say this. He wouldn't be guardable either, though. Like, you would, like, on offense, I don't know who's guarding him.
Oh, yeah, so was that skyhook the way the shot is, that, you know, he's got that arm stretched out, and it's not coming in flat, you know, to the rim. It's just coming up and over and actually being dropped in.
Exactly. I don't know if his team is winning a ton of games like he was in the 80s, but I also think he averages, again, 35, 40 points a game. It still would be incredible offensively, but I don't see how he's guarding a seven-footer that's able to get to the basket like a Durant, you know?
Andrew Claudio from Gotham SN and the Nothing But Knicks podcast joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_GSN. We have a text coming in from Ward Cleaver. He wants to know why the NBA has blackballed St. Louis. Why is that, Andrew Claudio?
Well, do you guys want an NBA team?
I think one over here would go over extremely well. I really do.
But to his points, I think the larger point is that, you know, when the NBA has like the one preseason game here every year, they don't market it at all.
I mean, not at all.
Me and Matt are both huge NBA fans, and I found out about the last one, I think a few years ago, it was the Timberwolves and the Bulls. I found out about a week before it happened. I follow the NBA. I follow the NBA on TNT. I follow every NBA thing on Twitter you can find, and there was no pub from the NBA to try to get it going. And there, and the entire point of having those games, because they do it across America in games that don't have NBA, I believe the entire point of those games is to extend the NBA to other cities that don't have teams, and yet they don't even seem to be doing that very well in the first place.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. You guys would be the experts on how good of a basketball school, basketball city St. Louis is over myself. I know the first two cities that people go to when they say need an NBA team right now are Vegas and Seattle, because Seattle is to me still should have a basketball team.
Yep.
And Vegas, for some reason, I don't know why, but Vegas continues to be mentioned as a great place for all of these professional sports teams to go to. And to me, it's one of the worst ideas that could happen, because in the world where Pete Rose is still not allowed in the Hall of Fame, why are you going to put Las Vegas, Nevada as a great place to have a clean base of sports going on, is what I'll say. But you guys, again, would be the better judge here of whether St. Louis is a great place. I know it's a great baseball town, you know.
It's a good sports town, but I will say the NBA, there's a lot of NBA fans here. I mean, you can just look at the fact that there's even times when the Blues are in the playoffs, in the NHL playoffs, where the NBA ratings in St. Louis blow the NHL ratings out of the water. And sometimes it even happens again when the Blues are still in the playoffs. It always happens when they're eliminated. So the ratings numbers are there, but there is a strong dichotomy, I think, between fans people who want the NBA and people who don't. That I will have to admit that.
You guys want the Brooklyn Nets?
We'll take them.
Like, we'll give them to you. They're pretty much irrelevant as it is in New York. Everybody in Brooklyn has gone back to being a Knicks fan as is, so you can have Brooklyn.
Yeah, I could watch D'Lo do a really poor man's Russell Westbrook impression for 82 games next year.
It's going to be like what everybody else treats the Brooklyn Nets. They can't afford Knicks tickets. Whenever you want to see like the Bucks or the Cavaliers or the Rockets come into town, that's who you go see. You go see them at Barclays out in Brooklyn.
Growing up, I was the same type of thing would happen, but with the Nets. When I was a kid, when I was younger, my buddies and I, when we wanted to see LeBron or Kobe, and we wanted to go to see him on the come to New York, we'd go to New Jersey because tickets were like buy one get one free, and we'd go to New Jersey to see the Nets. And the same thing has happened, you know, with them now in Brooklyn. The Nets are a good hey, look who's in town. Tickets.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that scene in Entourage whenever Ari got tickets for the guys for the Lakers to see the Wizards, and they're like, nah, you know, we don't want to see them. They're like, when's LeBron coming and the Cavaliers? We want tickets to go see them, Ari. We want to see them play the Wizards.
Yeah.
Andrew Claudio on the Bellman Automotive phone line with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_GSN. According to ESPN.com right now, Gordon Hayward is going to opt out of his contract with the Utah Jazz in test free agency. I know he has meetings with the Boston Celtics and also with the Miami Heat this weekend. Between those three teams, Andrew, where do you think he goes and what do you think is a better fit for him?
I think he's going to Boston. I think every single report, I have to start believing the crowd here, has said that he's going to Boston. His coach is there. He would do well in a Boston uniform. I will say that it's a little shocking that they just drafted a three and now they're going to sign a three. So I wonder what that means. I mean, with Brad Stevens, he likes to play those smaller lineups, and so I think he'll eventually play more of a stretch four. But I've always thought that it's a foregone conclusion that his bond with Brad Stevens is just too strong. When you hear about Brad Stevens was the first person to recruit him. He was the only guy to recruit him for the first 3 years of high school. Then he shot up to, 6'8", 6'9", now, and then he became a desirable asset. And there's such a bond there. I think he's going to Boston.
I had to get this question in earlier because it's the final cherry on top of all the Phil Jackson stuff, and that is the draft from a week ago. He obviously stayed in for the draft. is there anyone in New York, and this was reported during the draft, that the Knicks decided to take Neal Akina over Dennis Smith Jr. because Neal Akina is a better fit for the triangle? That's the reports I saw. Is there anybody that's kind of the final cherry on top of the Phil Jackson tenure there, is that even when he's out the door, he finds a way to screw them with the triangle one final time?
So I watched a ton of Frank Neal Akina YouTube videos to kind of prepare myself, because a month ago you saw the writing on the wall that there's no way they're going to draft Dennis Smith Jr. because that would be too perfect. That would make too much sense.
Yep.
There's no way they're going to draft Malik Monk because he's too ball dominant. Frank Neal Akina, everything you hear about he did in France is that he ran an offense. And like you said, he would make sense for the triangle. There are not a lot of Knicks fans that have time to watch France games or watch YouTube videos. Yeah. It's really just a hardcore basketball nut. So, yes, the general tone of New York is, why didn't this happen a week ago? We could have drafted Dennis Jr. Of course, you could have jumped
out. It's so Knicks.
What's wrong with you, Phil Jackson?
It's so Knicks.
But at the same time, I do think Neal Akina will be a very good point guard in the NBA. I also like the fact that he's pass first. He's a very athletic Ricky Rubio, and he'll run an offense and run it through Porzingis, and for right now, Carmelo Anthony. And he's also supposed to be very good defensively. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. I look at their backcourt with Courtney Lee and Neal Akina as very good defensively with all of these good backcourts in the NBA, especially the Eastern Conference. I'm still pro Frank Neal Akina, even if he's not going to run the triangle. If anything, the restrictions of the triangle are gone and we can see what his full potential will be.
What kind of damage do you think has been done to Phil Jackson's legacy, the way that his career with the New York Knicks as an executive ended? I mean, are people going to remember the coach that won 11 titles and, you know, was one of the faces of the NBA, even though he was a head coach in the 90s? Or are they going to remember the guy that, you know, alienated Carmelo Anthony and tried to trade Kristaps Porzingis and then, you know, upset LeBron James with an antiquated term like posse? What do you think the legacy is now to Phil Jackson?
There's two answers to that question. There's the New York answer, and then there's the rest of the country.
Is the New York answer sound like something like, he's a bum?
He's the worst. Like, he is. he made Isaiah Thomas seem like the good old days.
Oh, God!
I can't even compare it, because say what you want about Isaiah Thomas, I at least, like, can point to, oh, well, he drafted well. Like I said before, like, he drafted well. I can at least look at that and say, okay, he did something well. He just made a lot of bad moves. I don't understand one thing Phil Jackson did, because he literally did one thing right, and it was draft Kristaps Porzingis, which he wouldn't have done if he had the 3 pick. Or I guess you can speculate, because he says he would have drafted him if he had the 1 pick, but that's irrelevant. As far as Phil Jackson's legacy goes, how do you remember Michael Jordan? Is he a Chicago Bull that won 6 championships, or do we even remember that he played for the Wizards?
That's a good point.
Years? You know,
no, I actually only know him as the Charlotte's owner, and man, he is not a good basketball mind,
right,
to tell you that
so
much.
Like, you can even point to that. If you look at Michael Jordan, the owner, it's Kwame Brown. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot of his jobs as an executive have been terrible.
But
so I think over time, Phil Jackson, it will still be the 11-time champion. It's the guy that is in all of the pictures of that Michael Jordan's lifting up a trophy, that Kobe's lifting up a trophy. He's still going to be remembered as a great basketball coach. And I still even say he's a great coach. I still think Knicks fans look at him as, listen, we got this great coach to come here, this 11-time champion. But man, oh man, was this guy terrible as a team president. Because, I mean, every single thing this guy touched was bad. Everything this guy did was terrible. Let me ask you this. What would be a better argument? What do you think would be a stronger argument? That he was trying to do a good job and did it poorly, or decided after he opted in for those 2 years that he wanted to get bought out and fired, so he was doing these crazy things like trying to trade Kristaps Porzingis and leak out that he was trying to re-sign Derrick Rose?
I think that he wanted to get fired.
There is a theory out there that, an argument out there that is very strong, that he was trying to get fired.
I agree.
Well,
I think he was pulling a George Costanza and he was trying to get fired.
But let's look at how impressive this is. This is a guy who was a scrappy white guy for the only 2 Knicks championships ever. I thought literally that he could murder people in the middle of Times Square and the majority of Knicks fans would have said, no, Phil didn't do it, I did it, just to keep the guy out of jail. That's how much New York players not only love their championship winners, but they love Knicks championship winners because there's only two of them, and the guy was on both teams. I didn't think there was anything he could do to piss off Knicks fans. At this point, I have to say that his failure is at such an impressive level because he's made Knicks fans so angry, and I did not think that would be possible from a guy who was a Knick.
Well, I mean, you kind of hinted at it earlier. Knicks are going to Nick. Like, there's nobody that's safe from the stench that is the New York Knicks. Nobody's going to get in the way of ruining or tarnishing a little bit of your legacy when you come to the blue and orange. And I ask anybody that now takes this job, proceed with caution, because, look, it happened to Lenny Wilkins, it happened to Larry Brown, it happened to Isaiah Thomas, and now it's happened to Phil Jackson. You know, the only person I think that's come here and survived their legacy is Pat Riley, because he came here as a Lakers coach, got them to one of their only trips to the finals, and then went to Miami to return to greatness. So,
I thought one of your funnier tweets, Andrew, was, because I know you're a Mets fan, I know you're a Jets fan, and you said that if your team's colors are blue and orange, or they end in ets, you're in misery.
Oh, it's the worst thing you can do. When you have all these choices in New York, like, why, if you're a kid, if you're 13 years old and you just discovered baseball, why are you being a Mets fan? Like what is it? Unless your dad or your mom or you have family ties that, like, it's passed down, first of all, that's irresponsible parenting if you're going to make the kid a Mets fan. Especially with the Yankees and their history and Aaron Judge. Like, I completely understand now. If you're a football fan, Why are you going to be a Jets fan? Like, there's literally all these different good life decisions you can make as a sports fan in New York, and I encourage all children, stay away from any team that's blue and orange. That's the Islanders, too, okay? And then stay away from gangrene as well, any team that ends in ets, because God knows you don't want to be a Brooklyn Nets fan.
Andrew, are you essentially saying that when the Mets made that run to the World Series, they undoubtedly were attracting many fans that they will now disappoint for 50 to 60 years?
100%. In fact, I'll even go further.
They did a disservice to the youth of New York by going to the World Series.
I've been a Mets fan since I was 10, like since 1998. So it's in my blood. It's never going to go away. My brother is 16, and 2 years ago, that was his Mets making run to the World Series, and that was his year 2000 for me. And in 2000, the Mets finally made the World Series. It was incredible. It was awesome. And then they lost to the Yankees and were a footnote in their own city to the Yankee dynasty that was three straight. 2 years ago, the Mets had the lead in every single game of that series and lost the game in the eighth inning or later three times. So I can't, like, he got his first taste of heartbreak. Last year you have that wild card game where if Jerry's Familia gets out of that ninth inning, Madison Bumgarner's out the game, and you have the worst bullpen in baseball waiting for you. But no, he's up a home run to Connor Gillespie, who four people in America had heard about outside of San Francisco. So, as far as I'm concerned, everything that the Mets gave you in 2015, they're now reciprocating with this year, with Matt Harvey pulling a Derrick Rose and not showing up for games, Noah Syndergaard turning down MRIs and deciding, oh, you know what, I don't need to be healthy anymore, I'm just going to work out and be RoboCop, but at the same time, pull my lat, you know? So you're now in it if you became a diehard fan in 2015, and I don't encourage this because it's below me to do it, but if you then look at the Yankees and Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez and all of these young players and say, you know what, they're young and exciting, too. I'm still young. Let me see what it's like to be a Yankee fan. There's a lot more excitement and reward probably waiting for you.
I can't wait to hear your reaction when Tim Tebow gets that September call-up, my friend.
Dude, like, can I just point out, nobody's ever done this to me where they've been a distraction on one of my teams, then left that team and gone to another one of my teams. Like, I remember when he was a Jet.
He's haunting you, Andrew. He's haunting you.
Career.
You know what?
Can't be happy that Phil Jackson is gone. Can't we just have one? I can't have, like, 2 days in a row where it's just celebrating Phil Jackson's leaving and gone, and I never have to hear about this stupid shape ever again.
Nope, because his last first round pick already has a knee injury.
There we go.
I saw that. He's, you're looking at the new Sam Bowie. He's going to be Greg Oden in 2 years. You're right.
All right, we've taken enough of your time. You need to go have a drink. We've got you all worked up about...
What makes you think I haven't already?
All right, you're our favorite guest on the show, Andrew. There's no doubt about that. Thank you for making time for us again this evening, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. That is Andrew Claudio, the digital media director for Gotham SN and the host of the Nothing But Knicks podcast that you can find on iTunes. You can follow him on Twitter, and I strongly suggest you do, at Claudio_GSN.
314, four finger guy texting in, which, by the way, I found out today while because he apparently visited the guys down at 09 Pub. On Hampton with the hard line, four-finger guy is literally a four-fingered guy.
No, he sent in a picture one time.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
I wasn't aware of that. But he said, don't we have to be Celtics fans now?
Yeah, I saw Jason that Tatum,
you can still be a Washington Wizards fan?
You can be, but like...
Recency bias tells you should be a Celtics fan, though. Come on.
Okay, with Jason Tatum, though, the thing is, if they get Gordon Hayward, like Andrew thinks that they will, then they're probably going to try to make a run at Paul George, too. If they're going to make a run at Paul George, they're going to make a trade for Paul George. They're going to have to.
And plus, he's white.
Who?
Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward, correct. Very, very important. Thank you, Rocchio, for interrupting my thought.
It's a little slow on that.
You're going to have to trade Jason Tatum and probably a couple of those first round picks that they're hoarding in order to get Paul George.
Oh,
you're going to have to do it.
I thought you were building up to imagine St. Louis fans can just roll right into a championship caliber squad with Jason Tatum and Paul George or Gordon Hayward. But I mean, if Hayward, they don't have to trade anything. It's a signing in free agency.
If they get Gordon Hayward, if the Boston Celtics sign Gordon Hayward, they're going to make a run at Paul George.
Oh, you think they don't? You think they're not just going to say that's enough?
I think they're going to make a run at Paul George, and if they're going to do that, they're going to have to trade Jason Tatum and a bunch of their first round draft picks that they're hoarding.
You think that Danny Ainge, who can't seem to make a deal for his life, is going to make two?
He might.
I don't believe it.
I don't know.
If they put out the money, I can't see Danny Ainge then poning up the picks. He seems a little stingy right now.
Hey, I'm going to be cocky Heat fan right now. I don't think Pat Riley lets him leave Miami. What do you think about that? I think he's going to get down to Miami. He's going to see South Beach. He's going to see Pat Riley with a slick back hair and all those rings and the Armani suit. And it's going to be like, Godfather, this is where I want to stay.
If Chris Bosh was healthy.
I think even with Hassan Whiteside, if they get Gordon Hayward and they have Deion Waiters and
I would give a bigger chance that Hayward doesn't leave Miami if Bosh was healthy.
Oh well, yeah.
And so I don't think Dwayne Wade leaves
Miami if Chris Bosh is healthy.
That's probably a good point. I didn't even think about that. That's probably a good point. Then they'd be screwed now.
Well, probably. let's take a commercial break, and then coming up, we're gonna have the final segment of the night. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSCL.com.